Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
But the title this morning is He Has Come. All right, He has come. I hope you know who I'm talking about. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 to 25. Matthew 1, 18 to 25. It says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, when she had been engaged, pledged to marriage to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child." What's going on, Mary? Why are you getting pregnant when Joseph hasn't done what is done when you get married? It says she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. This child was from the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, "And her husband Joseph being just, a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, 'Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel,' which means God with us." Emmanuel, God with us. "When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord had commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus." What an obedient man. What an obedient bunch. You guys really listen to that story almost like you've never heard it before. So intently, so hungry, so open. That is so good. He has come. We see from what we just read in Matthew 1, we see in Luke chapter 2, another account of the gospel, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. God sent his son. Jesus came on Christmas Day, more than 2,000 years ago. God sent him. God sent his son. He has come. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He came by the Holy Spirit. We see that in Matthew 1, verse 18, it says, "Before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit." Verse 20 says, "He will be conceived in her." He who will be conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. So he has come. That's what we celebrate today. God has sent him. God sent him. Conceived by the Holy Spirit, he is Emmanuel, God with us. God with us, Emmanuel. You know, that verse that talks about Emmanuel, it actually says in verse 22, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken." What the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel." Do you know the Jews, they had been waiting for this day. See, Matthew, this book was written to the Jewish people. The book of Luke, was written to the Gentiles. When Matthew was addressing people, he's talking to the Jews who had been promised, the nation of Israel had been promised a Messiah. They had been waiting. Waiting. How long do you think they had been waiting for? When I think about waiting, I think about Amazon. The other day, I wanted to buy a case for my new iPad. And my wife kept telling me, go to Southland, go to one of those little booths. I'm like, it's just going to be so expensive there. I know a place, Amazon. And you know what? Amazon, not only was it cheaper and good quality, it came the next day. Why am I going to go look for parking at Southland? And then look for which booth and look for which iPad cover? Amazon, I thought it was going to be like maybe a few days, 4 or 5 days. I was hoping it would come before Christmas. It came the next day. Oh, how good is that? But I remember once buying some shoes from the States. I waited 2 months for these shoes. Like, what is going on? It's so good that you can track. You can track your package when you buy something online. Once that email comes in, track this thing. I'm tracking it like every hour. See, back in the day, they couldn't track when Jesus was going to come. They were just waiting. They were waiting. See, when we finally get that package in the mail from wherever you've bought it from online, it's like, oh, is this really what I bought? I need a refund. We're running off to the post office, sending it back, getting an exchange. I know a few people actually buy a lot of things so they can try them out and send them back. I'm like, how do you do that? But this is stuff that we can do. We don't have to wait so much anymore. But the Jewish people, the Israelites, they had to wait. Do you know how long they had to wait? Hundreds of years, not just 100, not just 200, not just 300, not just 400. There was a 400-year period called the intertestamental period where no scripture was written, where it was like God just went silent. And the Jewish people had heard from the Lord through the prophets. They had maybe the Torah. They had heard from the Lord. And they were still waiting. They were still waiting for this coming Messiah. But it wasn't even 400. In that 400 years, some of them forgot what Isaiah, what Micah, what Hosea, what the prophet said about the Messiah. That he would be a suffering servant. That he would be humble. That he would suffer. That he would come as a baby. A lot of them just forgot that. They didn't catch that. But the promise actually came in 740 BC around them through the prophet Isaiah. That's where Matthew 1:23 comes from. The prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 7:14. Let's go to Isaiah 7:14 in our Bibles. When you're there, let me know. Then I can read it. Anyone there yet? I'm still trying to make it. I'm under pressure. Everyone's looking at me. 7:14 says, therefore, he's talking. This is Isaiah and the word of the Lord talking to King Ahaz. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. That means God with us. He was saying there's going to be a Savior that is going to come. A son of David is going to come. And it's going to be God with us. His presence is going to be with us. That was in 740 BC when Isaiah was talking. Jesus did not come until around the 6, 4, 5 BC. There's all different things that theologians would say. But it was more than 700 years they had to wait. Imagine that. So he has come. Now he comes. Jesus has come to the Jews. What are they expecting? When you get that package, you're expecting one thing, but you get something else, you want to return it. You want to complain. See, the Romans were ruling the Jewish people at the time. Jewish people were under oppression and they were waiting for this Messiah to set them free from the Roman oppression. That when Jesus actually came in a way that they did not expect, they denied him. They were not interested. It says that when Herod was told by the three wise men about this Messiah who was coming, he said he was troubled. He says he was troubled and all of Jerusalem was with him. They were troubled. How can this Messiah come in such a form? That's not what they were waiting for. That's not what they were expecting. They were expecting a warrior. They were expecting a king. But there were some people who were waiting, like Anna the prophetess. If you read on in Luke 3, you'll find about Anna the prophetess. She had been widowed for a while, but even before she was widowed, for years and years and years, she'd be in the temple praying, fasting, worshiping. But once she finds out about Jesus, when his parents bring him to the temple, she starts to proclaim to everyone that the Messiah had come. There was another guy called Simeon. If you look there in Luke 3, he was near to death, but he did not want to die until the Messiah had come. They were waiting expectantly. He has come. People denied this Jesus because he came meek and mild. Imagine, they were waiting for him. They thought he would look a certain way. He would sound a certain way. But then he comes, as we hear in Luke 2:12, it says, this is the angels are speaking to the shepherds. Most of you know the story. The angels appear to the shepherds with their sheep and they start to tell them about the Messiah who has come. And they say to the shepherds, this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. That's meek and mild. That is humble. See, they have an experience of seeing an angel, and actually when the angels tell them that, a whole host of heavenly angels starts to sing. They start to sing glory in the highest and peace to all of them that God is pleased with. But so many people just did not believe about this Messiah who had come, because he came meek and mild. He came humble. Jesus is so humble. He has come. They expect him to come as this warrior, but he came meek and mild. But yet, as you study the scriptures, and as Jesus grows up, we hear in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and with man. People were surprised when Jesus would teach. He taught with such authority. So he has come meek and mild, but yet he's come in power. He's come in power, performing miracles, casting out demons, calming the stormy seas, opening blind eyes. Meek and mild, yet he came in power. You think about power. Who doesn't want to have power? We all want to be powerful in some way. He came so humble, but yet in power. He spoke in authority. But with that authority, with that power that he had, he was full of love. He has come full of love. This is our Jesus. Full of love. See, a man, a woman is most powerful. You and I are most powerful when we're able to love. See, if you can't love, if you can't show love, the power you think you're exercising, the power you're showing, you're demonstrating, it counts for nothing. Nothing of eternal significance. Nothing that is going to last. You might scare people. People might be afraid, but then what? Jesus came in power, but yet he was full of love. The word tells us that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. This is what Jesus has given us. He came in power, but he came full of love. A man, a woman is most powerful when they're able to love. Are you able to love? Are you able to look at people through God's eyes, not looking through what they don't have or what they've done wrong for you? Just think about that word, love. The word tells us in 1 Corinthians 13 that love does not envy. Love does not keep record of wrong. Love bears all things. Love is not self-seeking. This is the love that Jesus brought. God loved the world so much that he sent his one and only Son. What did he send him to do? He came full of love. But God sent Jesus to do something. What is that thing that he came to do? Luke 19 verse 10 says, the Son of Man has come. The Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. This is why Jesus came. We hear it in Matthew that this baby, this son, this child, this Jesus would save the people from their sin. This is what Jesus came to do, to seek and save the lost. But how does one save? How does one person save everyone? Think everyone in here, but it's more than that. It's everyone throughout the whole world has access to the Savior. How is it possible that Jesus, this baby who has come, could save? The source himself, the creator himself, he put it on himself to send his own son, Jesus Christ, to die on that cross, to live on this earth, to demonstrate how we are to live. And then he gave of himself and he died on that cross. He came full of love. He came to seek and save the lost. Acts 4 verse 12 says, and there is salvation in no one else. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. He came to seek and save the lost. There is no other name. There's no one else. There's nothing else that can save you and I, that can save anyone in any country, in any city, but Jesus. No other name. This is what we believe. This is what we get to reflect on our Christmas, but this is what we get to reflect on every day. This is what gives us life. It comes from the one who came to seek and save the lost. That name Jesus means the Lord saves. Jesus means Yahweh saves. The Lord saves. This is what he came to do. He came to save, to seek and save the lost. We all need a Savior. We all needed a Savior. We still need a Savior. We've got the Savior. Have you made him your Savior? Have you made him your Lord? The Lord saves. What does he save us from? What does he save you from? What have you been saved from by the one who has come? He saves us. What does he save us from? Sin and death. Sin and death. What is sin? Sin is any word, thought, deed that does not meet the mark. The mark of God's nature. The mark of who God is. He is holy. So Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Who doesn't sin? Put your hand up. Who's never sinned? See, I told you it's good having the kids in here. At least they give me something. But he came to seek and save the lost, to save us from sin and death. The Bible tells us that all fall short of the glory of God. See, God made a way for us to have relationship with him. by sending his son Jesus to die on the cross, that we could be saved from the punishment of sin. The punishment of sin is death. Yes, everyone dies, but the death we're talking about is what happens after you die. It's total separation from God. Jesus made a way, because for all the sin in our lives, and you look out through history and through the Bible, people, when they would sin, because God is so holy, they would not be allowed to go into his presence, to go into the tent at the meeting, to go anywhere close to where his presence was because of sin. So they had to give sacrifices, offerings. But Jesus came so he could be our final sacrifice, the final sacrifice once and for all to save us from the punishment of death. So he has come to seek and save the lost. He has come to defeat sin and death. Matthew 1:21 says, "She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." This is in the Word of God. That's what he came to do. It's great we get to celebrate with presents and we get to have great meals. But let us not forget why he came. It says right there in the account of Jesus' birth that he was coming to save his people from their sins. Who are his people? All of creation. See, Israel was his chosen people, but he said to Israel through Abraham, "I will bless many nations through you." And so through Abraham, Jesus came through the line of Abraham, through the line of David, so that God's presence and reconciliation with God would be made available to all people. So he has come, meek and mild. He has come, yet in power, full of love, to seek and save the lost. And he has come to defeat sin and death. See, Jesus took our place. He took your place. Think about that. He thought about your name. He thought about your face. I can't comprehend it. What love that is, that there's billions of people in the world. There's billions that have died already. But he thought of every single person. That's how much Jesus loves. That's how much God loves. He took our place. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus." See, we can complicate it. We can go, "Oh, sin just sounds like such a dirty word. You got to just simplify it. It's all about love." We can say all those things. But God simplified it. He says the free gift of God is eternal life. He gave his one and only son. They waited for him. He came, but so many missed it. There's so many that are still waiting. There's people that are actually still waiting for the Messiah to come. But some in those sects, when they do calculations to work out when the time was prophesied that he would come, they actually work out that it was just over 2,000 years ago. Yet for many of them, they still struggle to get that revelation. But God said in his word that he would have mercy on he who would have mercy on. He would open the eyes of those who would want to open their eyes. Some of that stuff I don't understand. But I know what God has revealed in his word, what is revealing by his Holy Spirit, and that he has come to seek and save the lost. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. He has come to save. He is mighty to save. See, Jesus came so that we could be reconciled to the Father. God is the Father. He is the Creator. And as most of us know, at creation, he gave Adam and Eve everything. He gave them dominion. He gave them the garden. He got them to name the animals. He created them for a relationship, the first people. But he didn't want them to become robots. He loved them. I love it. Why would they be robots? He didn't want Adam and Eve to be like robots. He wanted them to choose for themselves. He showed them what was good, but he said, hey, don't eat from that tree. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But kids, you know, when daddy says don't do that, that's the very thing you think, I'll try that out. But Adam and Eve, they were pretty on point. But the enemy came. The serpent came. And he tempted them. And they ate. And they started to see what was good and what was evil. They noticed that they were naked. They started to put clothes on. Got to watch my words, hey. Beep, beep. No one said naked. So from that point on, we were separated from God because now they knew sin, now they had sinned. And we are all born into sin, but God made a way. That's why he promised the Messiah. He made so many other ways, sacrifices, but that wasn't working because his children kept messing up. They kept messing up. They would do well for a while, but they kept messing up. Anyone relate to that? You keep messing up. God made a way. That was once and for all. A way that we can boldly approach his throne of grace in our time of need, in our time of trouble. No matter what you did last week, no matter what you did last night, God has made a way. Because Jesus came to pay the price. So he came that we could be reconciled to the Father. So before we say yes to Jesus, we actually don't know what it is to be in relationship with the one who created us, one who loves us, one who has a plan for us, one who has all that we need, one who will make a way for whatever it is he has in store for us. But Jesus came so that we could be reconciled to the Father. Jesus came so that we could have resurrection power. You see, when Jesus died, he's in the tomb for 3 days, the Holy Spirit resurrected him. God resurrected him by his Holy Spirit. The word says in Romans 8 that the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the same Spirit that lives in you. Jesus came so that we could have resurrection power. What does that mean? So that we could have his presence, that Emmanuel, God with us. See, Jesus is not here anymore because he wanted all of us to have him. So he resurrected and then he ascended to be with the Father in heaven so that he could send his Holy Spirit, which is also prophesied. And so Pastor Corey loves to say this. The Holy Spirit in you is better than Jesus next to you. Because Jesus said, it is to your advantage that I go to be with my Father. So Emmanuel, God with us, was just for a time. But now we have his presence. When you say yes, his presence comes. When you say, Lord, I want more, baptize me with your Spirit, fill me up. He fills you up to overflowing and you have his presence with you always by the Holy Spirit. We have been reconciled to the Father. We now have resurrection power. Do you know what you carry? Do you know what you can carry? Just think about God. Who is God? What is he all about? What does he have? What does he do? What can he do? He actually chose us to be his vessels. In your school, in your workplace, in a cafe, in your family, to carry his very presence, God with us, Emmanuel. When you go to that Christmas party today, tomorrow, you're carrying the very presence of God because Jesus came on that day in a manger. We carry his presence. Jesus has come so that you and I can walk in love. See, it can be hard to walk in love because Even when you say yes to God and the Holy Spirit fills you up, we still have our flesh. We still have our sin nature in us. And there's a tension and a battle every day between the flesh nature, the sin nature, and the spirit. So we can actually struggle to act in love, to walk in love, to speak in love. But having the Spirit in us, us feeding that Holy Spirit in us with His Word, by being in His presence, we can actually walk in love. But Jesus made that available. Those hard relationships when you go to these family lunches in a few days or tomorrow, those people you don't want to see, those people you don't want to talk to, those people that are hard to talk to, how does God see them? You carry His presence. You have the mind of Christ because He has come. He's given you His mind. I encourage you to engage that. Engage the Holy Spirit wherever you are. Show me what you think about this person, Lord. He might even give you a word for someone this Christmas. He might give you a thought of an extraordinary gift to give to someone this Christmas that you usually wouldn't, because He came so that we can walk in love. And what I love is that Jesus showed us how to walk in love. All you have to do is read the Gospels. There's only four of them. The book of Mark you can read in an hour. I challenge you to try it. I got caught up and I probably read it in about an hour 15. They challenge your Bible college to read the book of Mark in an hour, because when they would read this out before it was written and there was access to everyone, they just had the scrolls, they would have to read it out to everyone. People would just sit there and just listen. But we have it so accessible on our phones. But what I'm saying is we have access to the Gospels, the ways of Jesus. You can see how He walked in love. And He enables you to walk in love. He pours His love into you no matter what you've done. No matter who you are, we are able to walk in love. So my question for you today, us remembering, us knowing the obvious that He has come, my question to you today is, do you know Him? Do you actually know Him? Do you know Jesus? Do you know this Savior that has come? He's arrived. We celebrate His arrival. But do you know Him? Do you see Him in all that He is? Do you think you've got Him figured out? Because there's so much more to Him that we can never know all of Him. There's always more. There's always more. There's always more. But are you tapping into the more? Are you asking Him to reveal more of Himself to you? He is here. Jesus has come. And Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." There is so much to know about Jesus. Do you know Him as Wonderful Counselor? You're like, counselor? Shrink? I don't do that. He's the counselor. He's one through His Holy Spirit will come alongside you. He'll come and comfort you. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you guidance. Do you know Him as Wonderful Counselor? Do you know Him as Mighty God? Do you know Him as Everlasting Father? Do you know Him as Prince of Peace? I'm sure for some of us, the last few days have been crazy. Some of you haven't even wrapped the Christmas presents yet, because there's just so much going on. But I just encourage you to take a moment to just engage with the Prince of Peace, to ask Him what actually really matters, to set your mind on things that are above and not things that are on the earth. And He will give you peace. He'll give you perspective. Doesn't mean you don't have to do all those other things, but you'll start to do those things out of His heart, out of love. And some of the things that you might be stressing about, you actually don't need to. You can just drop. 2023 is done, people. Leave it for 2024. And some of those things will just fade away. It's like, oh, I was stressing about that thing, but we don't even have to do it anymore. Engage with the Prince of Peace. Do you know him? There's so much to know about him. So much. Do you want to know him? Do you want to know the one who has come? Have you received his love? Think about that for a moment. Have you received his love? It's not just a one-time thing. He's giving out his love all the time. Are you receiving it? Are you taking it? Have you received his love? Because that's what he came to do. He came full of power. He came full of love. He came to seek and save the lost. But have you received his love? Let every heart prepare him room. Let heaven and nature sing. Let's see. You know that one? Yeah. It says, let every heart prepare him room. People are singing it all over the city. But are their hearts prepared? Are they preparing room for the Savior? See, there is a space, a spot, a vacuum in everyone's heart, in everyone's life that nothing else can fill. But the Lord, but the Holy Spirit, but a relationship. Let our prayer be, let every heart prepare him room. And let's pray that as people sing that carol, even tonight as people watch the carols on TV, that there would be a shift in them. They're making room. But what about us who say we know him? Are our hearts prepared to let him come in again? Come and take every space? It's not that he's taken away from you, but he wants to be part of it. But more than that, he wants you to be part of what he's doing, because that's really what your heart longs for. Let heaven and nature sing. Can we all stand this morning and worship him if you could join me? Because we're going to sing, O Come, O Ye Faithful, as we reflect on Christmas. Have you received his love? See, he has come. His name is Jesus. He has come. His name is Jesus. But I want to ask you, have you come to a place? He's arrived, but have you come to a place of actually knowing him? Have you come to a place of making him known? He has come, but have you come to a place of making him known? We have a part to play. We have opportunities to take to make him known. He has come, but have you come to a place of going deeper in him? There is more in the Lord. Have you come to a place of going deeper in him? Have you come to a place of pursuing him more? Is his presence your priority? Is his presence our priority? He has come. You see, God's part is actually done, in a sense. He has come. He's done his part. He's done his part, and what has really struck me the last few days is that he's actually the one waiting. See, we don't like waiting for things, and we say, oh man, I've got to wait on the Lord, I've got to wait on this, I've got to wait on that, I've got to wait for that job, I've got to wait for direction, I've got to wait to do this, I've got to wait to do that. Lord, why is life so much of waiting? But guess who's waiting? He's the one waiting. His part's done. He's given us the Savior. The Holy Spirit's like, hey, I want to be involved. What do you mean you're waiting on me? What have you done with the last thing I asked you to do? I'm still waiting. I'm still waiting for you to tell people about me. I'm still waiting for you to do that thing I told you to do. He's the one who is waiting. Let me ask you this morning, what is it that you know he's waiting for you to do, waiting for you to embrace, waiting for you to get into? 2 Peter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise. He's not slow, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you. So he waits, but he's patient. It says, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. He is waiting. He waits for people to say yes to him, not just to say Jesus is Lord, but also to be like Joseph, who didn't want to bar of Mary after he found out she was pregnant. But once an angel spoke and told him what was to be done, it says he was obedient. Joseph took Mary, and he was not with her until the baby had been born, and then he called his name Jesus.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God, and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.